4th of July already. The year's half over. We'll soon be talking about school starting again and all the holidays coming up. But we don't want to push it. Our world is kind of a strange place. And as much as we like peace and safety, we always live in a sense of fear. We never know when our home might be broken into, or we might be mugged on the street. You know, we hear these things in the news all the time. And with our massive capability of communication now, you know, we hear what goes on in California. We hear what goes on in New York. We hear what goes on around the world. And so the bad news is always in front of us and always a part of our life. Because even though we may be safe where we are and everything is fine, we still are bombarded by bad news. And we realize that anything like that can happen to us. And when we look back over the years, especially in the years, say in the 20th century, now in the 21st century, how much peace, world peace, has there really been? Not much. We've had so many wars, so many small wars scattered all over the globe. We've seen riots of all types, crime everywhere, all kinds of trouble in this world. And we ourselves go through things. Things impact us. It can be loss of a loved one. It can be job problems, financial problems. You know, difficulties come our way. And we have to deal with those. And so I entitled this message today, Peace and Safety? Really? Because that's what everyone strives for, is peace and safety. Longing for it, claiming it. But do people in the world, does the world itself really offer this? And the answer is no. Peace and safety is somewhat of an illusion from a worldly perspective. To get peace and safety oftentimes requires war, battles. You must maintain a police force and so forth. Must maintain vigilance ourselves to lock our doors and to just be wary of what's going on around us. And so we live our lives in relative peace and relative safety because that's the best the world can offer. Because we live in a sin-filled, cursed world. I find it fascinating as I've been going through Proverbs lately how though we have changed so much in the capability of what the mind of man has invented. You know, just Rhonda was sending a letter, you know, that came in the mail to somebody else yesterday. She took a photo of it. She took a photo of it and sent it to the person that needed to receive it. Didn't have to go through the post office to resend it. Just that's how she forwarded it. I mean, that's amazing. It's amazing. What they've come up with medically is always amazing to me. And yet, when we read the Word of God, we find mankind has not changed one iota. Mankind has not evolved into something better. We may have great technology, but we do not have improved morals in our world, our world at large. Because we human beings are still imperfect people. God created us and we are what we are. And that's why we need a Savior. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Paul was writing to the Thessalonians to encourage them and thus to encourage us. Because the 4th of July is a very special time here in America. We remember so many have given of themselves for our freedom. First, our founding fathers and so many that gave of themselves to gain our national independence. We have had many wars since then to help fight wars around the world, but also to maintain our freedom here in America. So many give of themselves, police force, firefighters, EMTs, so many people that give of themselves to keep us in our relative peace and safety. But God offers us something that's greater than what the world can offer. And that's what Paul wanted to remind us of. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 1. Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you are doing. Our world lives in darkness, spiritual darkness, a blindness that cannot see the truth of God's Word, cannot understand how God made us and why He made us and what He wants for us. And so our world lives in a sense of false security. False security within in the sinfulness that the world promotes. All you have to do is look at our entertainment and see how sinfulness is propagated everywhere. And people are happy about that. And they enjoy that such entertainment. And they do things of their own in this sinful world. And think that everything's okay. We are okay in our sin. We are okay to do what we want. And if you know anything about human history, this has always been the case. Almost every nation that has ever fallen has been living in false security, thinking that we are okay, we got everything covered, we are doing the best we can for our nation, for our people, all of our people are doing the best they can, and we're okay. But it's a security in how mankind sees what's right and wrong. And so they numb themselves in their darkened minds. You know, many people rely upon alcohol. Many people turn to drugs. Many people turn to other things that kind of numb themselves in facing reality. Life is a struggle. But if we can numb ourselves to it, well, then we can go with the flow a little easier and it doesn't seem to hurt quite so much. And we don't have to feel quite so responsible for the darkness that we are involved in. But Paul points out here that Judgment Day is coming. And one of the reasons I think people don't take it too seriously is because it's going to come suddenly, unexpectedly. You know, like a thief in the night comes unexpected. You don't know he's coming, but you find out once he's come. And so when the Lord comes again, it's going to be like that. There's not going to be warning. He's just going to show up. Here he is on the clouds of heaven, Scripture says, to show himself to this world and bring us all to judgment. And while everybody is secure in how they see their life and how everything is going, it's suddenly going to end and they will not escape. But us, he says, we Christians, those who belong to Jesus Christ, we do not belong to the darkness. We are still touched by the darkness. We still struggle with the darkness because, well, we are people. One of the things that we must realize, you know, between saints and sinners, we all have sin in common. But rather than focusing upon what we have in common, we focus on how we're different. And how we're different is that we're to walk in the light. That is, we know enough from what God has revealed to us through Jesus, through the Spirit, through His written word, to know what God wants us to know and to believe and to do. And a lot of what has to do is working upon ourselves to walk more and more with our God. So He tells us here to be alert and self-controlled. That's not easy, is it? Always being alert. Alert for what? Alert for the second coming of Christ, always watching for it. But also alert toward temptation. Because when we let ourselves down, that's when self-control goes out the window. Self-control, that's not easy. But we have the help with the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit helps us do. But self-control, even with the help of the Spirit, is not easy. And that's why we need Jesus so much to work on this. Because that's what he tells us here, in essence, to live as Christians. To live as Christians means to put on our faith. To trust in what God has done for us. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ. We belong to him. And so we put our trust in him that his grace will carry us through, that his truth is worth following, that growth is essential. And as we put our faith in that, and that God will get us through and God will help us be conquerors, ultimately into eternity, we, from that faith, are able to love one another. Because none of us are perfect. Everyone is struggling, and everyone who first comes to Christ is a babe in Christ and has a whole lot to learn, a whole lot to overcome. And so we help one another to grow in the faith, to become stronger day by day, and to tackle the challenges that come our way at every phase of life. Because as we all know, life does not get easier as we get older. And fresh challenges, fresh temptations come our way. Even old ones can rear their heads once again. But we are called to trust in the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. And love. Love one another. Jesus told us to love one another, bear with one another, bear each other's burdens. And he says, put on faith and love as a breastplate. That's what protects us from the fiery darts of Satan. You know, when people are shooting, what do they usually aim for? Well, the torso. And that's what Satan aims for, is for our heart, where we are. And so we put on faith and love, and that protects us from Satan, from the lures he puts in front of us to cause us to hate, to cause us to lose faith in him. Because Satan wants us to give up on God. But God says you can't afford to give up. You can't afford to stop growing in your relationship because sin is still there at your heels. Sin is still a part of you. And part of the work of the Spirit is to work on that sin and purify you. And that's a lifelong endeavor. He says, put on hope of salvation as the helmet. A helmet protects the head from being bumped or being hit. And hope is what protects us. Keeps our minds and our thoughts upon God. The hope that we have, that's our goal. Our goal is not retirement. That is a goal, but it's a secondary goal. Our goal is not happiness. That is a goal, but it's a secondary goal. Our goal is not financial success. That is a goal, but it's a secondary goal. Our goal is eternal life. That's what we look forward to. That's what we anticipate. That's what God wants to give us and give it freely. And Jesus does not want us to give up hope. He wants us to hold on to him because he is our only hope. We cannot get there on our own because none of us are good enough. None of us are strong enough. But Jesus is faithful, and he himself will see us through. Salvation is what he promises those who belong to him. The unrighteous, those who reject God, who do not want to follow Jesus, well, they will suffer God's wrath. That's what Paul says here. But he did not set us apart when we came to him in faith to face God's wrath. Rather, he sacrificed himself. We just celebrated that at this table. He sacrificed himself so that we could live together with him forever. In this life, we do so imperfectly. In this life, we gather together on a Sunday or any other time during the week. We meet together as Christians. We have Christ in common because we need Him in our life, and we need the encouragement of one another. We need the assurance that we're on the right path. We need the assurance that there's hope for us as we face each day. Because Satan wants us to get discouraged. Satan wants to think that God will fail us and the ways of the world are our only hope. But the ways of the world are not. They're only temporary. They're only for this life and they cannot provide salvation. But Jesus does. And so he tells us to put that hope on every day. Put that hope on. That's what will protect our thinking. Because we belong to a God who wants to give us eternal life. And his conclusion in verse 11 is, therefore, because of these things, because judgment day is coming, because those who have no use for God are going to be thrown away, but those of us who trust God, who trust his promises, he is going to usher us into eternity with him. And then we will be perfected. And so we're to encourage each other and build each other up. You know, encouragement is really important because life is a struggle and we need to encourage. You can tell the difference in children when parents are always hounding on a child, always finding fault. A child can become either rebellious or develop a poor self-image, or both. But when parents encourage a child, and encouragement is not just always saying, oh yeah, good for you, good for you. You know, there's times, you know, to punish and correct. But always in light of encouragement. Learn from this. Move forward. Grow. We're with you. We've got you. We've got your back. That's encouragement. And so even, and Don and I were talking earlier, you know, you never stop being a parent, no matter how old you get and how old your kids get. There's always that need for encouragement to, you know, encourage them to follow the right way, to follow the Lord, to trust him. And even through their mistakes, to keep holding on to the Lord and trusting him. And to build each other up in Christ. We need to really encourage each other in our Christian walk. Because it's too easy to just sit back and plateau. It's too easy to sit back and say, well, I'm good enough. I've reached what I need to reach and I'm okay. That's what Satan wants us to think. But the reality is that being a Christian is a hard road. It really is. It's a big struggle against sin and temptation because Satan, he has the world, but he wants us on his side. And so he challenges us and makes life difficult from time to time to get us to give up on God. But that's why we gather together, to encourage each other and strengthen each other. We need that fellowship together to help one another to grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, when it talks about the work of the church, the goal is to help one another grow together up into Christ who is the head. So that the church grows as each part does its work. Doesn't mean one person can do everything, because one person cannot. That's why it takes a whole body. It takes everybody together. Because not everyone can relate to everyone. But within the body of Christ, there are plenty of people in which we can relate and build strong relationships. And in that, we find our encouragement and our strength. Peace and safety in this world? Really? Not really. Just partial. But peace and safety with God? 100%. 100%. Because the peace God gives us comes because of Jesus. The peace God gives us touches our heart and envelops our heart and our mind. To know that though we still struggle with sin, we belong to God. We are his possession. And he loves us because of Jesus. That's the peace we have with him. Because he's paid the price of our sins. And thus we find safety in him. When life gets tough, who do we turn to? Well, the Lord. Who do we call out to in prayer? The Lord. What words of encouragement do we turn to? Well, the words of God and his word. There's where we find our safety net. There's where we find the hope we need and the help we need when we struggle and when we fail. It's always to God we turn. I think that's one of the reasons why God referred to King David as a man after his own heart. Excuse me, I got a frog too this morning. Despite David's sins, and David did some serious sins, when he realized that he needed help, who did he turn to? God. God was his safety net, and he is for us as well. We must never turn our backs upon God. Sin is never okay, but we have a God who understands us and is here to help us and to forgive us and to help us keep moving forward. And much of the time, God chooses to work through his people to encourage that in one another. Because one of the great things in life is not just being encouraged, but being an encourager. Far too often, it's easy to sit back and say, well, what's anyone done for me lately? But maybe we also need to be asking, well, what have I done for anyone else lately? Have I encouraged anyone lately? Have I helped anyone grow in Christ lately? You know, we need to realize to be encouraged, we also need to be an encourager. To be built, we need to be a builder. To love, to be loved, we need to love. To have friends, we need to be a friend. It's always, always a two-way street. That's why what we have in Jesus Christ is called the New Covenant. It's a covenant between the Father and us through Jesus Christ. So peace and safety, we can go out into this world and we can deal with all the tensions, the troubles that are out there. But as Christians, we go out there and we have the peace of mind and the peace of heart, knowing that we belong to the one who's greater than all the evil in this world, the one who's greater than Satan, the one who has paid for our sins, the one who loves us no matter what, the one who picks us up and dusts us off and says, come on, let's keep growing. Let's keep aiming toward the goal. I'm with you, and I'm with you always. Even Jesus said, peace I leave with you, because his Spirit he has left with us. And so we have peace. Peace and safety before the great God who one day will judge the world. But we will be ushered in great glory into the eternal presence of our great God. Right now we're going to sing a song called Wonderful, Merciful Savior. And it's a beautiful song because our Savior is wonderful, because he's merciful. He's redeemed us and he's made us friends. It's amazing what God has done for us. So many have given so much, and we need to really be thankful this 4th of July for what we have here in America. But folks, it pales compared to what Jesus Christ has done. In America, we have a great measure of freedom. But in Jesus, we have total freedom. Praise be to God for his wonderful gift. Let's stand together, shall we, as we sing.